Today's scripture reading is from John 6, 47 to 60. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. Then the people began arguing with each other about what he meant. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They asked. So Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me, who lives because of me, am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Many of his disciples said, "This is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it?" This is the word of God.
You know, children often find all kinds of things unpalatable. Have you noticed that? They find all kinds of food just unsavory. It's unacceptable. Now, you know this if you've ever been on the receiving end of like a projectile stream of green creamed peas issuing from the little beautiful heart-shaped mouth of your little baby son or daughter. Kids just reject lots of food. Lots of food that's really good for them. That's why as good, responsible parents, we keep shoving those peas back in until finally, you know, we're covered with green stuff all over our shirts and we put them in front of the TV instead. No, we don't do that. But kids can reject a lot of what's good for them, and it's worrisome for parents. I knew a mother who was very worried because her son would only eat hot dogs and white bread. And he did this for years and years. She was worried about his health. I could never stomach asparagus. My solution, though, was to hide it underneath the rim of my plate, which I'm not sure what I thought that was going to do, because sooner or later the plate had to move, right? And I'll tell you, nothing is worse than asparagus except asparagus that's been sitting on the table for a half hour. The good news is eventually, children, all of us, we grow up. And that narrow palate that we have, it expands a little bit. And we're able, over time, to accept more and more different kinds of foods that are nutritious for our body and for our mind. And actually, did you know, like 20% of all the calories that we ingest, all the food that we take in, is directed towards our brain function? I didn't know that. That's a theory you can test, by the way, if you have an office visit with me when Nancy is out of town. I just get stupider and stupider as the week goes on. Because here's a little known secret. Whereas cheese has all kinds of nutritious benefits and vitamins for our body and for our mind, the same cannot be said of Cheez-Its. And that's my go-to when she's gone. But sometimes that's what we want, right? We want the light stuff that's kind of full of air but sort of tastes good. We don't really want the solid food. Well, Jesus talks a lot about food today, but he talks about it in a different sense. Jesus is talking about here a kind of spiritual food, a food that strengthens us spiritually and actually fills us with the very life of God. The very life of God. The reading today comes from John chapter 6. And chapter 6 is a lot about food. It begins with a really famous story about food. Jesus is out with thousands of people who have decided to follow him because he's so awesome and what he's saying is just so great. And they're following him and they followed him for days and they're out in this pasture and they're just all over the hills around him. And they're hungry. They're hungry for the words of wisdom that they know he's going to bring to them. But they're also hungry in their stomachs because they just haven't eaten in a long time. Well, in this wonderful story, in this great scene, Jesus does what he does an awful lot of. He backs up his words, his teaching that he claims comes straight from God. He backs that up by doing things that are miraculous, that only God can do. In this case, as most of you know, he takes 5 loaves of bread and he takes 2 fish. And he holds them up above his head and he gives thanks for them to God. And as he does, to the amazement of all those people who are watching, the bread multiplies and the fish multiply. 5 loaves become 50. They become 500. 2 fish become 20 and 200 and 300. And finally, everybody has eaten. Everybody is satisfied. Everybody's full. An amazing miracle. And people see that. And they say, only God can do that. But Jesus did it. They start making the connection, right? Well, the next day, Jesus and his 12 disciples have gone across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum. And all those people, and many more now, have gone around the sea. They've walked all night and they've gone around that big lake to meet him there. And the next day, Jesus begins this discourse that we heard today, where Jesus makes this attempt to sort of broaden the people's palate. To get them to stop thinking just about their hunger in their bellies and their material well-being, but to start to broaden them out, to begin to think about their spiritual health, their spiritual life. And he says these things. He begins, "The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And then he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." It's a remarkable thing. Now, Jesus knows that the people who are listening to him are fresh off this experience of seeing bread materialized by God, bringing that God brings this bread down to them through Jesus. But he's speaking to them on a different level now. He's hoping that they will open their minds now to see him as the true bread, spiritual bread that they need to take into themselves to accept. The same way we take food into ourselves to bring us life. He gives them this amazing truth. He gives them this lesson. Gives them this morsel. But it falls kind of on tin ears. They don't really hear the message. You know what their response is? Their response to this? "How can he say he's from heaven? We know he's from Nazareth. We know his parents." Well, Jesus hears that, and he goes at it again. He says, I'll tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Anyone who eats the bread of heaven will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread which I will offer so the world may live is my flesh. Jesus gives them this absolutely incredible truth. And the people's response is, why is he talking about flesh? I thought we were going to get bread today. Incredible truths falling on superficial ears. So Jesus doubles down. Listen to this. I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Anyone who eats this bread will not die, but will live forever. Now he lays it out. He lays it out. I am this bread of life, the spiritual life that has come down from heaven, laid right down here by God. I am it. If you believe in me, you will have life eternal. You'll never, your spiritual life, you will be filled. He lays it out. But the people hear that. The people hear that and they say, this is too hard to understand. How can anybody accept this? Now, I have to say, I kind of agree with them, don't you, a little bit? It is a little hard to understand. But Jesus isn't asking them to understand. He's asking them to accept. He's asking them to accept this truth that through him, a person who believes can be filled with a spirit of God, the living spirit of God. That's a hard thing to understand, and it's a hard thing for these people to understand. It's a hard thing for a lot of us to understand and even to accept. Jesus offers this incredible truth, this incredible revelation about God's presence in the world and the way he wants to have a relationship with us, the way that he wants to live within us. He lays out this truth, this spiritual nutrition. But the people want Cheez-Its. This spiritual nutrition, this idea of Jesus himself being the thing that brings us life, is simply unpalatable to them. And so they begin to drift away. You know, this is true of these guys, it's true of us in different ways, in different parts or times of our spiritual journey. But it's one thing to accept, to understand Jesus as a good teacher, as a good man, even as a miracle worker. That's one thing. Because, you know, it's easy to take teachings. You know, you can take teachings and you can debate them. You can hold them up intellectually. You can turn them. You can discuss them. You can bandy them around. You can take sayings of Jesus. You can mix them up with sayings of other philosophers. And you can mix and match and kind of come up with something that you kind of like, you know. You can even experience the miracles that come from God, the miracles that we experience every day, just looking around at life, looking around at nature, looking around at love, experiencing those miracles that really come from God, like these guys experienced the miracle that came down in that bread that day. You can do all of that, and you can partake of all of those things without it really getting deep, without it really affecting who we are. Without it becoming bone deep. But as soon as Jesus starts to insist that he isn't just one source of wisdom, but that he is the embodiment of wisdom, that he isn't just one way of life, but that he is life itself, the very life of the living God, he starts to insist that we can only partake of that living life of God when we accept who he is and the sacrifice he's made for us. That's when it gets personal. That's when we can't keep it at arm's length anymore. It gets personal. And that's exactly where Jesus wants it to be. It's exactly where he wants it to be. Personal. He wants to get under our skin. But more than that, he wants to be our skin. He wants his blood to be coursing through us. He wants us to grab hold of him and bring him into ourselves. The way that we ingest food and it metabolizes all through us and changes who we are. That's what he says. That's what he wants. That the flesh he gave up for us on that cross, his human life, his very life, that we embrace that and it becomes ours. That the blood he spilled for us, that we take that and we cling to that, it becomes who we are. That Jesus' very life becomes the food of our soul. That's what he wants. And we know that. We've all had pieces of that. We all know kind of what that means, right? We may not feel it all the time, but we know what that kind of feels like, right? That's why we're here today. That's why we're here today, because we know that that food that Jesus is, that that food that he is wonderful food. It's wonderful food that changes who we are, that helps us get through our lives, that helps us become better. It's with us all the time. It's wonderful food because he's a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior. You know, it's common to hear people say, you know, Jesus wants all of us. He wants all of us, meaning he wants every part of us. He wants to be in command of all the things that motivate us. He wants to be in command of our values, and command of everything that moves us in our lives. And all that's true. But in order to really make that happen, to make that happen 100% thorough through everything and every part of us, it's not so much about him getting all of us as it is us accepting all of him, everything he is. The same way we eat that good food. And I'll tell you, the longer we live, the more we need it. Am I right? The longer we live, the more experience we have in life, the more we need that nutrition, that food that sustains us, keeps us from getting beaten down, and that carries us from this life to the next. Oh, yeah. The longer we live, the more we need him. So what are these kinds of nutrients, these vitamins, this life that Jesus has for us? Well, we're going to go into that the next few weeks, I think. But suffice to say for today that the spiritual vitamins that he brings to us that we can use on a daily basis are three. They're all vitamin C's. Jesus, his life, the byproduct of that life of God in us. It's a real sense of compassion. Compassion that saves us from focusing on ourselves all the time. A sense of confidence of knowing that God is with us no matter where we're going, no matter what we're doing. And a wonderful sense of courage as we go through life. Courage that comes from knowing that this life is not all there is, that there is another life that we need to keep our hopes and our eyes on as well. And that is every bit as important, if not more important, than what we live here. So even as we go through this week, even as we go back to school, and I know how hard that is with all the new temptations and new challenges. As we go back to work and leave vacation behind, that's so hard. Even as we read the papers and we look around and see what's going on in our world as it seems to become more dangerous all the time. Even as we bring life into our church. Those are good, nutritious vitamins to have in our life. Compassion that helps us look out, away from ourselves. Confidence that no matter what we say yes to or say no to, God is with us. And courage to know that, you know, this life is great, but it's not all there is. And we have another life to look forward to. So let's praise God today. Let's praise him for the wonderful food that he gives us today and throughout this week. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are grateful to be here today. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful for your word even when it is hard to understand. But we pray, oh God, that you will help us to accept your word. For only through acceptance can we find understanding. We just ask, oh God, that you help us to drink in not only your word, but your very life. That we come to depend on you the way we depend on food to sustain our bodies. That we bring you in to sustain and grow our spirits. We ask this today in Jesus' name.